Thanks, everybody. You know, what everybody is so impressed by is the prophetic community we have. It's all the people at the mission that make up such a great company, prophetic company, and it's exciting to be part of. So thanks so much for that. All right, I am beginning a series today, just a two-part series called The Daniel Generation, which is wisdom for weird and wonderful God encounters. Now, I mean, we had some experience with this even recently. How many of you were here on Mother's Day when my wife was speaking? And how many of you on Mother's Day, you saw the gold dust falling while she was speaking? Wasn't that cool? That was weird and wonderful. Well, I went ahead and posted it on my website. On my Facebook, that gold dust was falling. And I expected to get some, you know, pushback from that, and I did. There were some interesting comments on there about that. But, I mean, it is a weird experience. As a matter of fact, I have preached from this pulpit for 18 years, right here. And it's never happened to me. But the second time my wife gets up, the glory falls, the gold falls. And, you know, what do you say? I know what you say. Give us Regina. Get her back up there. And people were asking, well, why? Well, why? And that's the question you get all the time. And I was talking to Regina about it this morning. And she said, well, why chocolate chip cookies? I said, what? She said, well, why chocolate chip cookies? Like, you know, you don't really need them. There's not a purpose for them. But when somebody gives them to you, you just feel happy and loved. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good answer there. But we are a community where weird and wonderful things happen, where we believe in God encounters. And there is a biblical basis for that. And I want to share some of that biblical basis with you. But before I do, I want to share a quick story from history. How many of you ever heard of Genghis Khan? Have you ever heard of him? Not Wrath of Khan, you Star Trek fans or whatever. No, this is a different guy. So Genghis Khan, you know, was over the Mongol Empire in the 13th century. He ruled this empire stretched from China to Central Europe. It was a kingdom larger even than those of Alexander the Great and the Roman Caesars. Covering all of Asia, Indochina, and even into Eastern Europe. No nation has yet to rival the magnitude of the Mongolian Empire. His grandson, Kublai Khan, had a mother who was a Christian. Kublai ruled with the Mongol Empire, had reached its limit, and he couldn't expand it any farther, so Kublai concentrated on maintaining peace in his borders. When the Polo brothers, Marco Polo's father and his brother, when they journeyed to China, they found evidence of Christian communities and served in the courts of Kublai Khan for 17 years. Many of Genghis Khan's sons married Christian princesses who became very influential in that society and in that land. So Kublai asked for the Polo brothers in 1269, 1272, to ask Pope Gregory X to send 100 missionaries to what was then called China, but it was the Mongolian Empire. So they were so interested in Christianity that they asked the Pope to send 100 missionaries. And the Pope agreed, but never sent anyone. One of the greatest missed opportunities in the world was not realizing the cry of the generation and being able to answer it. So here's the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth asking for missionaries and nobody would go. Or something broke down. There's several different opinions on what happened there. But what we know is that that whole area, one of the greatest, largest empires in the world, could have been impacted by the voice of Christianity if they had heard and answered the cry of their generation. I believe we're in one of those points as well. I believe we're in a point where it's necessary to hear the cry of this generation. Romans chapter 8 talks about, in verse 22 and 23, it says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption of sonship, the redemption of our bodies." So there's a cry in all of creation for something spiritual and something more. God responds to cries throughout Scripture. Like, there are many, many examples, but just a few. In Exodus 2, 23 to 24, it says this: "During that long period that the king of Egypt died, the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery, it went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." Now, I'm sure that God heard the groaning for all 400 years. Scripture talks about what was going on during that time period and why it was that length and why it was that time period. But there is something about God hearing the cry of a generation and answering it. And I believe that that same thing needs to be in his people. This is even a New Testament concept. In James chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." God hears the groaning of the planet. God hears the cries of the people. And the question, of course, is, do we? Because, see, if we can't hear the groaning of what's around us, if we don't hear what people are crying for, then we tend to answer questions that nobody's really asking. We prepare people for a reality that no longer exists. We teach and train out of our traditions and out of our formulas and out of what we're comfortable with, rather than responding to the cry of the earth and the cry of the people. But God is a God who hears and answers. So, what is the cry coming from creation right now? What's the groaning that's arising from our generation? I believe one of the things we see is an incredible hunger for the supernatural and even the paranormal. See, you see it in movies. How do we see the cry of creation? Well, look at books and movies. Look at the arts. Look at what people are expressing, because that is an expression of the cry of the people. It's an expression of the cry of creation. How many have noticed the increase in superhero movies? So I went on the internet and I counted 51 superhero movies in the last 10 years. 51. Why? Because people are crying out for something out of the ordinary. Because people are beginning to understand that we were made for more than a futile, mortal existence. Deep cries out to deep, and it's showing in the movies. Well, what about ghost movies? I counted this morning on the internet, 147 ghost movies in the last 10 years. 147. And you know, you can be disturbed about the movies, or you can hear what it says. How about the 8 Harry Potter movies that worldwide in the box office have sold 8.5 billion in ticket sales? So I was recently at a church, and the pastor shared this story with me. His 12-year-old son had been watching the Harry Potter movies. And he didn't know, you know, how he felt about that as a pastor, having his son watch those movies. And you know, there's all different opinions in the church, and we're not here to talk about your opinions. Or mine. But he said this. He went to his son and he said, "Son, you know, what's up with these movies? Why do you like these movies?" And he said, "Dad, don't be concerned." He goes, "I know that that stuff isn't real." He said, "But when I watch those movies, it looks more like the book of Acts than our church does."
out of the mouths of babes and infants. Some would say it's just out of the boredom from our mundane routine of life, that people just want to escape reality, that it's all just fantasy. But I believe it's something more. People are having encounters and experiences they can't explain. And they're looking for answers. They're looking for context. It reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the book of Daniel. See, there was this king who is the most powerful king on the face of the earth at the time. And he really was a terrorist kind of king. He really was like, he's been likened to a Saddam Hussein. But he had a dream. And when he came to his enchanters, his magicians, his astrologers, he said, listen, I don't want you to just interpret my dream. I want you to tell me what my dream was. See, the king didn't just want another opinion of his experience. He asked for someone to tell him, what is happening to me? Explain the experience itself. We see this in Daniel 2, 9 to 12. I'll read it for you. He said, if you do not tell me the dream, there's only one penalty for you. Because you've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things. The king was tired of misleading and wicked spirituality. He realized that something real was happening to him. Something defining, something transformational was happening to him. And he's like, somebody tell me what's happening to me. Someone tell me where this is coming from. Someone tell me what's going on. I don't want another opinion. I don't want another interpretation. I want to know what's happening. See, that's the cry I'm hearing from the world right now. Let's go on in the scripture. He said, you've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping that your situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I'll know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there's no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. Ha 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 ha. Au contraire. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. What made him so angry? That no one could interpret his experience. That no one could, not the dream, but the experience itself. No one could tell him what was happening to him or where it came from. And so he was ready just to do away with all spiritual sources. And you know what? That's the choice that so many people have made. They're like, let's just throw out all the spiritual altogether and just live on logic and reason. Nothing wrong with logic and reason, but it's a much better servant than a master. But do you see this? Do you see the cry of the king? He said, I'm tired of opinions and I'm tired of being misled. Tell me what happened to me. This is how Daniel enters the scene. Let's go back one chapter. That was chapter 2. Let's go back one chapter and look at Daniel's qualifications. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 to 21, it says this. To these four young men, now that's the guys that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. They were all together at the same time, captives in the nation of Babylon. It says, to these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could even understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into the service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none were equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which are the Hebrew names for these three guys. So they entered the king's service, Now listen to this. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. And so what opened the way for these guys to serve the king was a twofold anointing. One side was that they were wiser and had more understanding in literature and in learning. The other side is that they were 10 times more wise and knowledgeable than magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers. That's the spirit world. And I feel like the church has had this polar divide between spirit and truth. It's like you can have literature and learning, or you can have spirituality, but somehow you can't have both. Everybody thinks that people that are having crazy experiences are ignorant. That they just don't know any better. They're just being overcome by some kind of spiritual fanaticism. I'm telling you what, no one made the gold fall from the ceiling a few weeks ago. There are no air ducts up there. We only have air ducts on the side of the building. You'll see that. That is a long throw for glitter. That's a long way. I mean, there's some air cannons up there. If that glitter made it all the way here. We did not glue it to the ceiling and have some way for it to shake out during the meeting. We were as shocked as the rest of you. Regina, in that time, she'd go, "Dan, what do I do?" As if I knew what to do. I preached for 18 years. It never happened to me. I'm fighting a little envy right now. Just to be honest. But I'm loving it. I'm celebrating what God's doing. Why has there been this war in Christianity between the logical and the unexplainable? A war between education and experience. A war between spirit and truth. As if we can only have one and not the other. Why not both? See, I don't think that either one of those positions is biblical or sustainable. It's not biblical or sustainable. It's not biblical because of this. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's both. I mean, he is called in Scripture the Spirit of truth. There is no division between truth and the Spirit. Come on, say amen. See, we've got to remove those dividing walls that make us want to be only logical. And yet we have to remove the walls also that says it's okay to just be spiritual and ignorant. Because it's not. It's not. He is the Spirit of truth. John 15:26 and John 16:13, it names him as the Spirit of truth. And many other places in Scripture. See, God is equally committed to both spirit and truth. And believers should be equally committed to both spirit and truth. God is looking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23 to 24. It says, "Yet a time is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For that's the kind of worshipers the Father is seeking." The Father is seeking people that are as committed to truth as they are to the Spirit. And as much as they are to the Spirit as they are to the truth. And yet we tend to divide those two things. Then it says this in verse 24, God is a Spirit. Now that's pretty important in the context of our discussion. God is a Spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we have this call today to equal into that, and I believe that this call is the Daniel call. Daniel was found more knowledgeable and more understanding with his three friends in his generation in every area of literature and learning. There's a challenge. Come on, there's a challenge. Because that's old covenant. That's not even New Covenant. And what does Scripture say about New Covenant? It says there's so much glory in the New Covenant that what Moses had when he saw the glory of the Lord pass before him and heard the Lord call out his names, it says that glory is not even worthy to be compared to what we have right now. This far exceeding glory that we have through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, it is not biblical to divide between spirit and truth. God calls us to both. Secondly, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable because the outcry of humanity is so great. I believe this is a double portion generation in the area of the supernatural. I'm seeing things we contended for 20, 30 years just be on our young people. I mean, we're seeing children just naturally prophesy and heal the sick. We're seeing children that are having amazing God encounters. I've told the story here of my oldest son, how when he was 11 years old, I found out that he saw angels and demons. And then he described them and he described their typology and all these things. And I know we didn't teach that in Sunday school. That he got that from the Holy Spirit. I asked him, how do you know all this? He said, well, I just see things and I ask God what they are. And he tells me. I'm like, good plan. I wish that was good parenting. You just got that in the spirit. So now teach me. I want to learn. I want to know. This is a double portion generation, especially in the supernatural. And they're having experiences and encounters beyond what the average church or Christian can or is willing to explain. And that's not okay. That's not okay. 51 superhero movies, 147 ghost movies. That's not even counting all the supernatural movies or all the demon movies. We didn't count those. Some of the highest grossing films of all times are showing children the power of magic, the power of supernatural. And you know what? Don't you complain about it if you're not going to be an answer. Don't try to shut down the supernatural that is happening for a generation that's crying out if you're not going to be an answer. They want to see more than a prophecy and more than a healing. We need that. But that doesn't explain the encounters they're having. Listen, the astrologers, the magicians, the enchanters, they've been doing dream interpretation for a long time. And the king's like, I need more than your opinion on what just happened to me. Tell me what happened to me. Don't just tell me what it means. Tell me what happened to me. I think that's why Sean Bull's ministry last week was so impacting for us as a community. How many were here for Sean? Sean Bull's was demonstrating word of knowledge and just sharing things to an incredible detail, but And the word of knowledge is so wonderful because it's what Daniel used actually to be able to tell him what the dream was it's knowledge of information you could only know by the Spirit of God. And we had a great demonstration of that last week right here from the pulpit. But it's not just word of knowledge. It's also one of the first gifts mentioned in the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the gift of word of wisdom. And word of wisdom is not just having wisdom or being a wise person or having a lot of life experience. That's wonderful. Scripture tells us all to get wisdom. But the word of wisdom is when you have wise counsel, wise strategy, wise instruction from heaven in an area where you don't necessarily have education or experience. It just comes from heaven. Just like word of knowledge is not being a knowledgeable person, that's wonderful and that's commendable. But word of knowledge is being able to tell information or knowledge that you could only have by the Spirit of God. In the same way, word of wisdom, gift of wisdom is different than the Spirit of wisdom. The word of wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge by the Spirit of God. And God promises that to his children as well. And I believe that word of wisdom is an accelerating gift in this season right now. It's a gift for promotion. It's a gift for acceleration. It's a gift for advancing, for invention and ingenuity and innovations are going to come by a word of wisdom gift.
greatly increase in this season.
I believe that Daniel is a pattern for what we need to be in order to rightly serve the cry of this generation. How many would agree with me? That Daniel's a type. He's a pattern of what we need to be in this season to answer the cry of our generation. I just want to look quickly at three qualities, and then we're going to move into an activation here. But the three qualities we saw was, first of all, Daniel was given knowledge and understanding in all sorts of literature and learning. Daniel 1:17. You don't have to throw out the logic to be spiritual. I love a quote I heard on the radio many years ago. It said, God's ways do not defy logic, they transcend it. See, God's ways are not illogical. They're just of a higher order of understanding. They're of a higher order of knowledge. And sometimes we think what God is doing, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but if you will embrace the higher order of God's thinking, you'll understand the ways of God. Like, there actually is a purpose in wonders. There's three categories of the supernatural. There's miracles, there's signs, and there's wonders. Miracles are a quantifiable result. In other words, he was blind, now he can see. Okay, I can see that. No matter whether I believe it or not, something happened here. And I can't really argue with that. And then there's signs. Signs point to something. Little more subjective. It's kind of like, well, maybe that means that, maybe not. But on the day of Pentecost, there was a sign where a bunch of uneducated Galileans spoke at least 17 different languages by the Spirit of God. It was a sign that this is that which was spoken by the prophet hundreds of years earlier. It was a sign pointing to something. But wonders, what are wonders for? Wonders are designed to blow your mind. No, they are. They're not designed to be explained. They're designed to put you in awe of one who has a higher way of thinking than ours. As a matter of fact, I love what Einstein said about this. He said, a problem cannot be solved with the same mindset that created it. So we create problems through the way we're thinking right now, and then we try to think our way into a solution. And Einstein said that that's really insanity. You cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. So you have to get out of your mind. Did you know that when God gives you an experience that's out of your mind, he's doing a favor for your mind? He's giving you the chance to upgrade to a higher way of thinking so that you can find solutions. You won't find solutions in what happened, but if you allow your mind to be expanded, wow, there's more than I know. There's more than what I've experienced. There's more than what I've seen. If you allow yourself to be expanded by a wonder, rather than get cynical and sarcastic, rather than challenging a reality you know nothing about, if you'll allow yourself to be expanded, you can have a higher order of thinking as the result. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much higher my thoughts are than your thoughts. But he invites us into that realm of thinking through the divine union with the mind of Christ, and the Spirit of truth that's been poured out on the day of Pentecost is available to every one of us, but he uses wonders to break us out of the limiting mindsets we currently have. And so when we're skeptical and we're cynical and we're critical and we think we know what we're talking about, when we're confronted with a wonder, we're condemning ourselves to the same cycle of broken down thinking and broken down behavior. God, through wonders, is inviting us into a higher realm of thinking. He's inviting us into the mind of Christ. You don't have to check your brain at the door to have an experience with God. We see this in the life of Daniel. That's the first thing we learn. Secondly, Daniel was 10 times wiser than the astrologers, enchanters, and magicians of his day. He wasn't just equal to them. He was 10 times wiser than the astrologers, the magicians, and the enchanters of his day. In things not only of literature and learning, but also of spirituality. And I have a question for us, church. Are we 10 times wiser than New Agers of our day? Not even close. Don't kid yourself. Not even close. I mean, I talked to a young man 2 days ago who has had 200 out-of-body experiences. Now, whether you believe that or not doesn't really matter to me. He has had experiences again and again that he can't explain. And being able to put that in a biblical context for him has changed his world picture and changed his God view. I'm telling you that this generation is having experiences and encounters they can't explain. And we can't throw out truth and logic and literature and learning, but neither can we fully depend on what we know and read. And Daniel, in his day, was 10 times wiser than the New Agers of his day, than the psychics of his day, than the spiritists of his day. I don't believe we're walking even in that goal. I don't think we even have that as a goal. I don't think we even have that as a target. And yet, our movies are crying out for a superhero and a community of superheroes. And our movies are crying out, what about this spirit realm? What about ghosts and spirits and angels and demons and all these kind of things? And they've sent us 147 cries in the last 10 years. And we're spending billions and billions of dollars for young people to experience a level of the supernatural that does look more like the book of Acts than most churches. But it doesn't have the context of Christ. It doesn't have the context of the spirit of truth. And if we keep going this way, people are just going to chuck spirituality like King Nebuchadnezzar was ready to. I'm tired of all these wicked interpretations. I'm tired of everybody's opinions. Someone tell me what's happening to me. And I believe that church needs to take it on if we are truly in a superior covenant, and we are. To what Daniel experienced in the Old Testament. There is an opportunity through divine union with Jesus Christ. There is an opportunity for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There is an opportunity because God has poured out his spirit on all flesh to be 10 times wiser, to have more understanding, to have more knowledge than the spiritual community of our day. And not so we can impress them, not so we can be on top, not so that we can suppress what they've learned. Because there's a lot of what they've learned that's real. Sorry if that offends you, but you probably need it if it does. Now, it has to have its context in Christ to be good, to be redemptive, to really not cost you something more than it pays off. That only happens in Christ. That only happens in the person of Jesus, who is the person of truth. So all truth finds its context, its meaning, its glory, its fullness in the person of Jesus Christ and nowhere else. But if we reject all spirituality because we don't understand it, we're just doing what Nebuchadnezzar was ready to do. Let's just kill off all the magicians, sorcerers, enchanters. Let's just kill off spirituality and live purely by logic and reason alone. Your brain is a cruel master, but a wonderful servant. But a wonderful servant. Who's talking about mystical experiences today? Movies are, books are, people are. What about the church? What about the church? Let's look at the third thing about Daniel. First of all, he was committed to literature and learning. Second, 10 times more advanced than the astrologers, enchanters, and magicians of his day. And thirdly, Daniel told the king about his experience, not just an interpretation or opinion. Daniel gave context to what was happening to the king and who it was coming from. The world's not really asking for another opinion, but Daniel possessed wisdom and understanding from God to explain an experience. Now listen to this. To explain an experience that he himself had not had. And this is a key. You don't have to have the same experience as someone to give them a context in Christ Jesus. See, when my son began to tell me about seeing angels and demons, I've never seen them, ever. I consider myself a pretty spiritually advanced person, someone who's pursued revival and pursued relationship with the Holy Spirit. But I don't have the same type of gift as he does. And so I had to learn from him. I had to grow from him. I had to listen from someone else's experience. And at the same time, even though I didn't have that experience, I could give context to it from the scripture. I could give context to it from the experiences that I've had in Christ. I could give him foundations so that he doesn't get off so far in the spirit that it's not coming back to the center, which is the person of Jesus Christ. And see, when we get intimidated by people's experiences we haven't had, we disqualify ourselves from the very thing we can give them, which is wisdom and understanding. And I said, Michael, what do you guys need? You know, involuntary seers, what do you guys need? And he said, we just need to not feel weird. We need to know that this is okay. We need to know that this is normal. You know, that comes better from a person who's not having that experience. Listen, I see your gift in the Bible. And so this is a God thing. And this is a good thing. And I embrace you. This is real. This is normal. You're not going crazy. You're not weird. Here it is. Now, how can we point this gift back to Jesus? How can we use this gift to love and serve people around us? How can we use this gift in a way that is going to add rather than subtract? See, this is the key to mentoring a double portion generation. I believe that God will give us knowledge and understanding in literature and learning, and that we will be a people of truth. But I also believe that he desires to make us 10 times wiser in the area of spirit and spiritual matters. Not so we can, you know, show off or be more than or push others down, but so that we can serve this generation with love, with wisdom, with understanding. Can you hear the cry of this generation? Because in that 13th century, a cry went out from one of the greatest nations on the earth, and it fell on deaf ears. Send us 100 people to train us in the ways of Christ. Send us 100 people to tell us about spirituality. And there was a chance to change what Asia looked like hundreds of years ago that was missed out on. I believe we're on the brink of the same thing. Can you hear the cry of the people? Can you hear the cry of the land? I believe that you will receive words of wisdom even in areas where you have no prior experience yourself, because God has poured out his spirit on all flesh. Daniel's service to the king was a mixture of the word of knowledge, like we saw in Sean last week, and the word of wisdom that we're going to see today. And both are essential gifts of the Spirit. So, the Lord's calling forth a Daniel generation that is committed to the Spirit as they are to literature and learning. It's not one or the other, it is both. Secondly, the Lord is raising up a generation that will excel 10 times in supernatural wisdom to match the outcry of this generation. And thirdly, we need to open the dialogue for the supernatural and trust the Lord for words of wisdom and words of knowledge to interpret and to give context to the experiences that people are having. This is the call that I want to start this week and continue next week. How many of you can hear that cry? Can you feel it? Can you hear it? Can you sense it? So this is what I want to do today. I'm going to put my actions of faith where my mouth is. And I won't necessarily be doing words of knowledge about people's experiences today, because Sean did such an excellent job with that last week. But I am going to try to interpret for you today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, some unexplainable experiences. I'm going to ask for a volunteer from each of the sections here in the church. Okay, from the seating sections in just a moment, not yet. And this is what I'm going to ask you. I want to hear what your God experience was that you can't explain or that you can't define. And you know what? By sharing your experience, by being vulnerable in that way, there are other people here that have had a similar experience. And your answer is their answer, and they're really excited. So you are being vulnerable. And you should know this is being broadcast. This is going out over the internet. So, you know, you may get the criticism that I get all the time. I hate it when my mom Googles my name. finds out I'm on the list of false prophets, you know? Yeah, seriously, it's not very fun, you know? And so I go to visit. It's like, you still love Jesus, right? Yes, Mom, Jesus is the center. Jesus is always the center. It's all, yep. I'm not in a cult. We're not drinking Kool-Aid. But I'm going to attempt to interpret these experiences in a biblical, a historical, and a practical God context through Word of Wisdom. And we're not going to do dream interpretation today, so don't share your dreams because your night dreams, because we have dream interpretation teams that serve on a regular basis here, and they can do that for you. And so we do that, but that's not what we're doing today. And then we're not going to do demonic experiences today because we don't want to focus our attention on what he is doing. So, you know, we're not afraid to talk about that, and we have teams that minister in that area as well. And I've done hundreds and hundreds of deliverances. Deborah and I did one last week, and I've been in deliverances where I've seen things fly across the room. You know, Rob and I were teaching the Native American people in Oklahoma, and I was teaching that every sound is of God and every instrument is of God. And, you know, so the Native American powwow style, yes, you can use that sound to worship Jesus. When I did, there was no one in the sound booth. Rob Harris can tell you this happened. A chair came up out of the sound booth and went flying across the room. I'm like, good, we made a demon mad. That's good. And there were times when I was the one flying across the room. Yes, I did. I had a bad deliverance situation in India, a deliverance that went wrong. And a little 90-pound guy threw me across the room. I went flying by Deborah's head in a plank position, eye level, from a little 90-pound guy. So we're not here. We don't want to talk about demonic experiences because we don't want to glorify the enemy today. We want to glorify Jesus Christ and him alone. And just like Daniel pointed Nebuchadnezzar back to the one true God and showed him his destiny in God, that's what we want to do today. So we're not doing dream interpretation. We're not doing demonic experiences because we don't want to give him attention. And these should be things that you're pretty sure are God, but just don't know what they mean. And if I don't get anything on it, I won't fake my way through it. I'll just tell you. I'll say, you know what, I have no idea, but I'll pray with you about it. Let's continue the dialogue, because I don't have to have every answer, because I know the one who is, and we'll go from there. Next week, we're going to do the same thing, but I want to prepare you real quick. I'm going to be sharing on the weird and wonderful God encounters from Scripture. We're going to talk about out-of-body experiences. We're going to talk about teletransportation. We're going to talk about lucid dreams, interactions with nature and the animal kingdom, and those type of biblical experiences straight out of the Scripture. And then we're going to do the same thing. We're going to take some volunteers and we're going to interpret weird and wonderful experiences. Now, I'm not doing this to put on a show. I'm doing this as a prophetic act of saying, hey, as the church, let's open the dialogue. Our God is a wonderful God. He is full of wonders, and he has designed them. And we are spiritual beings, and God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, both in spirit and in truth. We're not promoting weirdness above truth or education or literature or learning. No, we're just trying to bring them into balance together. Because listen, there's so much happening in the spirit world that no one's talking about except the powers of darkness. And so, don't criticize people who go to that side if you're not willing to be the answer. And to be the answer, you have to open the dialogue and talk about things and take the persecution that comes with it. You're at that church. Yeah, we've been that church for a long time. Come on. Like, we're not afraid of that. It's okay. It's okay. $8.5 billion paid for eight Harry Potter movies. People are looking for the answers. People are looking for the answers. They're looking for the experience, and we just want to embrace that. So we're going to do it quick. What I'm going to ask you again is share a God experience in 60 seconds or less. So you can't tell me a big, long story. You just have to share the meat of what happened. I'm going to do my best to interpret it for you. We're going to do this and have you out in the next 5 to 7 minutes, okay? We're going to do it pretty quick. All right, so
this smaller section over there. Is there somebody that wants to volunteer from that section? If not, it's okay. I might take two from this one over here. Okay, over here. Somebody want to volunteer? Yeah, come on up. And then, yeah, because we only got one here, I can take a second. Come on up. Yep. And yes, the gentleman right in the center with the hat. Yeah. Yeah, come on up. And then over here. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. And just one more. Okay, there we go. So, yes, come on up. Come on up the stairs. Come onto the stage. Here we go. All right. So, y'all be praying right now? No. I'm teasing. Okay, this is probably the sixth or seventh time I've done this. And I asked the leadership here at the mission, is it okay if we go here? Because this can expose us to more criticism, more persecution, whatever. But is it okay if we go here? And of course, they graciously said yes. But we prayed about it. We thought about it. We don't do it lightly. But we want to open this dialogue of spirituality to another degree. And if we're going to be 10 times wiser, we have to talk. We have to talk. We have to listen. We have to share and do life together. So what was the experience? 60 seconds.
My wife, Regina, buys the half and half. She was gone, and I ran out of half and half. She went to visit her sister at the beginning of May. It was me and the dog. Darn. So I buy some half and half after practice, and I need to go to the restroom. I put it. I don't want to bring it in the restroom, and I left it there. Darn. So I said, Father, I want my half and half back. So I stopped by Trader Joe's, buy half and half. A day or two later, I open it, and I've been looking in the back. It's yellow. It's this big. It's bright yellow. Not my normal half and half. And 2 days later, I open the door, and my Trader Joe's is there, and my half and half is right there. Yellow, right in front of my face. I'm going, you know, where is it? I went through everything very methodically. No half and half.
Awesome.
Just about to happen.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for, yeah, that's fun. And I'm sure people have had similar experiences to that. And, you know, Bobby Connor tells the story about how he asked for his knife back and it literally fell out of the sky after losing it. We heard the story of a man who lost his laptop that had his doctoral dissertation on it, and it was stolen. And so the insurance company paid for it, but he didn't have a copy of his dissertation. When he opened up the laptop, the brand new laptop, it had his doctoral thesis on it. That's a weird and wonderful experience. And I love that God cares about half and half. I mean, don't you love that? That God's love is in the details. Okay, so I want you to remember that time and space and mass are all created realities that are subject to the Creator. Time, space, distance, and mass or substance are all created realities. So God can manipulate them any way He wants. Like just as time is something that God can defy in a way or transcend, in the same way He can transcend space. So we have examples of the resurrected Jesus passing through walls. Did you know that even in this pulpit, there's more distance between the atoms than there is in the atoms themselves? And if you had a awareness of that reality, of the negatives, that there's more negative space in my mass than positive space, and more negative space in that pulpit than in my positive space. And so if I just knew how to position those, I could pass through that. And Jesus did that. So He could pass through walls of mass. He could pass through time. He could pass through space. Jesus demonstrated this. And we have several instances of something being in just the right place at the right time. And so whether God is dematerializing and rematerializing things according to the authority of His time, mass, and space reality, or whether He's having angels deliver those kind of things, we don't really know. But I think either of those are very, very plausible possibilities in Scripture. So thanks for sharing. Bless you. Yeah.
So I was at a convergence this year, actually, and I feel like I went into heaven, into this room that had a conference table, mm-hmm. and the Heavenly Father was there, and there were beings there that looked more like people than angels, but they were angelic at the same time. And when they looked at me, when each one would look at me, they would impart something different. Like one, I think, carried a spirit of wisdom. And when he looked at me, he didn't say anything. And all this, I started getting all this revelation about the wisdom of God over my life. And then another one would look at me and it was like stuff was coming out of their eyes. It was really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And wonderful. And so that's interesting that you say things coming out of their eyes, because we see things coming out of the eyes of Jesus in the book of Revelation, and how people had an encounter with the eyes of a spiritual being. So we see that in Scripture. And then also you're talking about angels that look like humans, and we see that in Scripture as well. Also in the book of Revelation, there's a four living creature. One of them has the face of a man. And we know that there are angels of the Lord that appeared as humans on the earth throughout history. So, you know, what you saw there still has a very biblical context. I think what happens is a lot of times we'll pray the prayers of Paul, the apostolic prayers that begin many of the chapters of his writing, that says, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and an understanding. And when we think spirit, we think, you know, give me a feeling of wisdom. Give me a, you know, download of wisdom. Give me a grace of wisdom. Well, a spirit can be a spirit. It can be an angel. As a matter of fact, I was teaching one time at Bethel, and I was aware that an angel was talking to me while I'm speaking. So I was just saying what he said really quick. It was a good spirit, and it was a good thing. It was having a positive impact. But he was talking so fast at one point. Now, I couldn't see him. I could just... And I didn't hear it with my ear. I'd hear it in my spirit. But I knew that I was really more taking dictation, or, you know, I was translating what he was saying. And at one point, I just got so caught up, I turned around and I said, would you slow down? And I turned around and everybody's face was just looking at me like, what just happened? I'm like, I just kept going. I couldn't explain what happened, but I'm like, will you slow down? There's nobody there, Nana. Oh, yes, there is. There are more angelic encounters in the New Testament than the Old Testament, almost twice as many. And so angelic encounters are a very real thing. And we know that Joseph, the father, the stepfather of Jesus, that he had dreams with angelic beings in them that spoke to him guidance, specific things to protect even the life of Jesus Christ. And so this whole realm of interacting with angels, whether it's in our physical reality or whether it's in our dreams of the night or some other things that we'll talk about next week, that is very, very real. Impartation coming through the eyes, very, very real. And the fact that you're receiving virtues like wisdom and understanding, things like that in the heavenly realm, well, that's exactly what Paul prayed for you, that you might have a spirit of wisdom, that you might have a spirit of understanding, that your spiritual eyes might be opened. Why would we think the spirit is just something generic rather than a tangible person that carries that virtue and then imparts it to us by the Spirit of God? So it's a wonderful experience. I encourage you. It's a very biblical, very God thing. Thanks for sharing it with us. Yeah.
Well, this is a relatively new realm that I'm walking in. I've just had three experiences in the last month, so I'm very excited. Unfortunately, my first two choices were already covered by two individuals already. Okay. So I'm down to my last option, and that happened at the Bobby Connors conference, where I was stuck to the floor. And I mean, that was the first occurrence, and I could not move a muscle as any muscle, any part of my body. I couldn't lift my head a centimeter off the floor, and it lasted for quite some time, at least 15 minutes or so.
Yes, I can relate. Had the same thing happen. So you have Hebrews 5:14 says that strong food is for the mature. You're experiencing a strong food dynamic. Strong food is for the mature who by reason of practice have trained their senses to discern good and evil. So a lot of us have learned how to experience God through all of our senses and to encounter the Lord through our senses. So senses in the old man or the old nature tend towards sensuality, but senses in the new nature the new creation tend towards sensitivity. They were made actually not just as readers of the physical material reality, but as another way to commune with God. Everything within you was created to commune with God. In Him we live and move and have our being. So you have a quality in the back of your brain that then goes also up into your inner ears that is called your equilibrioception. And it has to do with your balance, your perception of gravity, and your perception of acceleration. And it has to do with your vestibular sense and your inner ear canal. So we can find these things in literature and learning, understanding that your equilibrium comes from specific mechanical functions within your brain and your inner ear. So in the same way, there's many experiences we have in God that affect our equilibrioception. Like many people will get goosebumps, which is an experience of your tactician and thermoreception. Thermoreception is your ability to detect heat and cold throughout the body. Tactician is your sense of touch. So you feel God touch you, or you hear a testimony that God is giving witness to, and instantly you get God bumps. You get chicken skin, goosebumps, himmy-jimmies, heebie-jeebies, whatever you want to call them. I don't care, but it is a reality. And that some of your greatest tactician comes through your hair follicles on your arms, which is why you feel God on your arms. It's really no different to feel Him in your perception of gravity or your ability to movement. And so when someone goes down in the spirit, when they fall in the spirit, it's just an overwhelming of their equilibrioception, all right? What is happening is God has entered into their sense of gravity, so they lose balance. He's entered into their balance, so they lose balance. And then into their sense of gravity, which is either a lightness or a heaviness. Of course, the word glory is the word kabod, which means weighty or heavy. And so what was happening to you is the heavy glory of God was resting upon you. And in that state, we see this happening to Daniel. We see this happening to Isaiah. We see this happening to John the Revelator in Scripture, that they would go before the Lord and be like a dead man. They would be unable to move, unable to respond, because in that state, they were having such a level of communion that we don't want anything natural to interrupt that. And so these are wonderful places that we can have in God where you can just yield yourself to that sense of the glory of the Lord. And as we learn how to even yield our equilibrioception to the Lord in a greater way through thanksgiving and through acknowledging the Lord in all our paths, these type of encounters really increase. So I see an increase of those over your life in this season, and it's good. Yeah, bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. I get a visual on my hands of sometimes bolts. Uh-huh. Today was bristles. So like individual, like a brush. Mm-hmm. So I would see the bristle, and at the end, the red tip, and then at the bottom, a rubber base. Mm-hmm. And in the, while you're speaking, I'm seeing them moving around. Uh-huh. And coming together, and sometimes really large ones that come around the church, like not just inside of my body, but right. Around the church. Sometimes it's bolts, sometimes it's, you know, different things.
Very cool. So there's several types of seeing in the spirit, and one is the first one is seeing spiritually in the natural realm, which is spoken of in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, that everything we can know about God can be clearly seen through what has been made, so that all people are without excuse. And God trained people with their natural sight to see spiritually. He trained Jeremiah that way, Zechariah that way, and Amos that way. He said, "Son of man, what do you see?" And then what does it mean? The second type of sight is the inner sight, where we have visions and dreams and imaginations. Even our imaginations can be a God thing. That's our internal sight, external sight, internal sight. Then we have fourth dimensional sight, which is where God opens up and shows us literal things in the spirit realm. Yours would be considered the second one of those, which is an internal sight. And it would be classified in that realm of a sign and a wonder. That what you're seeing actually means something, you know, what you're seeing in the spirit, but it's not your actually seeing like giant bolts. Those bolts are a type of what the Lord is releasing, those bolts and brushes. And it has to do, obviously, with creativity. It has to do with strategy. It has to do with things coming together and people coming together and things like that. So what we do when God starts speaking to us through a sign is we start dialoguing with the Spirit of Truth. Just like God asked Jeremiah, Amos, and Zechariah, He said, "Son of man, what do you see?" And then He said, What does it mean? And then they would dialogue back and forth until they had that answer. And so what you want to do now is just take that to the Lord. Lord, okay, I'm seeing this bold. I'm seeing this brush. And what does it mean this time? One of the things you don't want to do is assume what it means. Yes. You know, sometimes we get into this place where we think every time it means the same thing. But it's interesting, even in Scripture, there were types that meant different things in different seasons and in different settings. And this keeps us in a place of dialogue with Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, that the anointing in you remains and it's real and not counterfeit. And the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things. He's going to teach you how to abide in Him. And so there is a wonderful invitation of the tutoring of the Holy Spirit right now to enter into what this means in each one of these situations. But it is definitely seen in the Spirit. It's very real. And we certainly see it in Scripture. And so now, just with that little bit of instruction, maybe the Lord will take you on to the next level of that.
Thanks.
Bless you.
Hey, how you doing? When I was 16, I was in like the worst depressive state I've ever been in. I was in a really dark place, and I remember going to the kitchen to make myself something to eat. I was leaning up against the cabinet. All the lights were off in the house. And while I was leaning there, I just felt heavy. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, like, I was paralyzed. I couldn't move a muscle, and it just felt like there was this orb right here. And all it was doing was just radiating, like, ripples in water, just gold ripples. And they extended out farther than I could see.
Wow.
And that lasted for about a good 4 or 5 minutes. And by the time I was done, like, I had cried waterfalls.
Yeah.
And, like, this is before I was saved. I got saved 2 years later. So what the experience was to me, like, I couldn't have words for it. I couldn't talk about it to anybody. But, like, I knew it was just something that was not of this realm. It wasn't this earth. And it was just the gold color was outstanding.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. You know, I love that this happened before you began your relationship with the Lord. Obviously, He began His relationship with you quite a bit earlier. But the Scripture talks about how the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And God gives us all these God encounters. We have a record in Scripture of how God was moving through an ungodly general before he realized it, before he knew it. And I think that happens to all of us, is that God is courting the supernatural in us. Deep is calling to deep. And that's such a beautiful thing. And you mentioned that it looked kind of like an orb, you said? Yeah. And this is actually really, really common. We need to not be afraid of language that has primarily been used by other circles outside of Christianity. Like, if it's an orb, it's an orb. Like, don't freak out. Orbs. You can't say orbs in church. Okay, call it a wheel within a wheel, you weirdo. Just like, you're being weirder than I am because you're all afraid to use a word. You know? No, if that's what describes it, that's a beautiful thing, okay? So, you know, Ezekiel saw a wheel within a wheel, which is a description of an orb in a way, a little bit different type, but there are so many records of people seeing angels in particular or having encounters with Holy Spirit regarding orbs, and the color does matter. And gold is also speaking, or is often speaking of the glory realm or the divine realm. It might have just been a witness that this really was God. You know, you could feel that it was good. You could feel that it was clean. But also gold speaks of divinity and will often kind of be that witness that what's happening is God. So I think in that case you had an encounter with an angel appearing as an orb. Could have been the angel of the Lord, you know, himself, Holy Spirit, working in a specific way to prepare you for the destiny that you have right now. God doesn't waste those encounters. And so he saw glory in you. He saw treasure in you that he called forth even at your darkest moment. And never forget that that's how he always sees you. And that's the glory that he's calling out of you. So thanks for sharing. That's awesome. Yeah.
Which one?
You decide. The one that's 60 seconds or less.
Okay. Well, I'm going with the one about seeing his face.
Uh-huh.
Okay, at that time it was about 2000, the year 2000, and I didn't know it was really okay. It didn't even occur to me we could look at God's face. Pastor Dave said that we needed to ask him to show us his face.
So it's his fault, that guy on the front row. Okay, just clarifying.
And so I was commuting still at that time to Sonoma. I'm driving on that road just before you get to 12. What is it? One? Anyway, it's a skinny road. It's come up over a mountain. And no other person in the car. And all of a sudden, here comes God. I could see nothing else. It swooped on me, and it was a big, happy face. and it was so. And I'm driving, and I didn't even think a thing about it. Yep. I was just so thrilled and happy that I asked him to show me his face, and he did.
Thank you, Sandy. That's so beautiful. I asked me to show me his face, and he did. Imagine that. Like, what we're praying is literal. What we're praying is real. You know, today you guys sang that dangerous song, Show Me Your Glory. And several of these were just encounters with the glory, being glued to the floor by the weighty glory of God, the Hebrew word kabod, which means heaviness or weight. And then the glory orb that showed up and radiated the glory and goodness of the Lord into someone who was in their most desperate time. And then the literal face of Jesus, you know, appearing to you, the face of the Lord. And of course, we see that Isaiah, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And then we have that with John the Revelator, how he saw the face of the Lord. Paul testified that he met with Jesus in the desert, that even though Jesus was crucified, resurrected before he became a Christian, that he met with Jesus and was taught by Jesus in the desert. And so there are appearances of the Lord that are very, very biblical in Scripture, and that is a wonderful treasure. That is a wonderful treat. Now, I've had many God encounters in my car, especially when I'm alone. I've been, you know, translated to other places. I've had the top of my car disappear and glory clouds just rolling over top of me. And one time I got pulled over. The policeman passed me and he said, well, first of all, you were doing 90. He said, but your hands were in the air and your eyes were closed. He said, can you explain how you were driving with your hands in the air and eyes closed? I'm like, just give me the ticket, man. I'm telling you the truth. I drove about 7 miles, just caught in a glory realm. Don't try this at home, because if it's not God, you're in big trouble. And I still got a ticket. But I don't know. There's something about turning your car into a sanctuary. There's something about turning it into a place of communion where there's just such sweet things that can happen there. And I just bless you. That is a wonderful, wonderful God encounter. And he's obviously demonstrating that he loves looking in your face and letting you see his. So I bless you, Sandy. Thank you. I really think there's word for everything that happens to us. I do. And we just need to look to see. And we need to ask for wisdom in this generation. And we need to hold on to spirit of truth, literature and learning. Let's discover. And at the same time, there's a bar of 10 times higher. There's a bar of 10 times more. And it's not to be the master, it's to be the servant. It's not to be the expert, it's to love on people in the language that they're experiencing right now. And so, guys, that's why we do prophetic ministry here. That's why we have dream interpretation here in our services. That's why Ramon every month runs a cell group for mystics and seers, for people who are regularly having unexplainable encounters. We have a cell group you can go to and share your encounters where, you know, you won't be thought of as weird at all. Like, you'll be, oh, yeah, I've had that happen 10 times. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And it does. It just gives you a sense of connection and normalcy. Listen, we are spirit beings that are having a physical experience, not physical beings that are having a spiritual experience. Because the spiritual reality is the greater reality of our personal makeup. And so today, if you don't know Jesus, hi, welcome. If you haven't begun your journey with Jesus, I want you to know that his love is like that golden orb
that was radiating over our brother in his darkest moment, just releasing the love of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, and saying, there's something more. And I want you to know there's something more for you today. There's something wonderful and unexplainable. There's a love that surpasses your highest knowledge of love that wants to encounter you today, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. It's the love of the Father. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he has been longing for you. He's been crying for you. He's been moving upon you in ways that are going to become even clearer to you as you yield more to him. But today I want to invite you, don't wait a moment longer. You are missing out if you don't have the context of Jesus Christ. You can have all these experiences, but you'll be just like a lost king, the most powerful man in the world, but not having the answer of answers. He couldn't contextualize his experience, so it couldn't help him. No matter how many experiences we have or have not had in God, I want you to know that God loves you and is reaching out for you today, and that the invitation into more, it only is satisfying. It only is building up in the person of Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you today to just surrender your whole self to him. If you've never surrendered all of you to the Lord, today's your day. Man, he has so much for you that he wants to share with you. And so why would you wait? Why would you wait? What do? We just confess, God, I need you. I want you. My sins, my selfishness have separated me from you, but you made a way for me to come to you through the cross and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And I come. You don't even have to understand it all. After all these years, 35 years of following Jesus, I don't understand it all. Trust me. But I'm on this wonderful journey with him. And it starts with just a declaration of faith. God, I want you. I need you. Come into my life. And the scripture says that everyone who asks receives, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They'll be recreated. They'll be made new. And this whole spiritual world would begin to open up to you. And it's a wonderful, wonderful journey. And I want to invite you on that journey today. Would you close your eyes with me for just a moment? You're in this room. You're not in a good place with Jesus. The Spirit of truth is here not to expose you, but to expose the love of God, to expose the goodness of God, to invite you in to this encounter of spirit and truth with the Father. And so you're not in a good place with the Lord. You want to make it right. Just throw your hand in the air real quick so I know who I'm praying with. Yep, 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 yep. Yes. 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 Yeah, all across this room, people are responding. We just bless that in the name of the Lord. And let's just all say a prayer together. And I'm going to invite the ministry team now to come stand across the front as we close our service. The ministry team has some words of knowledge for healing. If you want to stay around, we're going to ask that you go get your children so that our workers and our kids can be with us. And we're going to dismiss if you need to go. But there'll be some healing prayer up here as well. But let's all pray a prayer together. Father God, thank you for your goodness and the greatness of your love. And we come here today knowing that you freely forgive all sin and selfishness. So I confess mine and I ask you, come into my life. Take control. I give myself to you because I've always belonged to you. Show me the love of God and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord with our hands. Dave, come on up. Okay, right now you guys are dismissed. The ministry team is here. If you need healing, we're going to give a couple words of knowledge real quickly, and then we're going to release. Sorry, I went over today.